order.
For a second day, question time in the House was dominated by the aftermath of Sunday night's Kaikoura earthquake, with the Prime Minister John Key bringing MPs up to speed on the latest developments in response to this invitation from the Deputy Leader of New Zealand First, Ron Mark.
Can he update the House on the situation in earthquake-affected areas in the South Island?
Mr. Speaker,
maybe it would be best if I just gave a quick summary of the most recent visit we've had there a couple of hours ago. What I can say is that on one hand, I think spirits are actually quite high in the Kaikoura region. There's been a significant additional support coming from police, coming from the military, coming from civil defence. The locals, I think, in that regard are feeling well supported by this parliament and by the services that support them. Secondly, Mr. Speaker, what was clear is that there is real concern about the upcoming tourism season and the capacity for tourists to actually get into to Kaikoura because of the damage to road. I think the government will need to provide a business support package, and the minister responsible, Stephen Joyce, is likely to make that announcement in the next 24 hours in a package which would be similar in nature, I think, to what took place in Christchurch. The only other point probably that's worthy of note for the House is that I think it's increasingly possible, if not likely, that the House will have to pass some sort of emergency legislation, and political parties will need to think about that. Just to give you one example, because of the lift in the seabed floor, the advice we got from those running whale watching was that it would only be able to operate for 2 hours a day. I think this House knows that to fix that issue would require some dredging, that would require a resource consent process that's likely to be very slow. I told the business people locally that I thought this Parliament was unified in its support of the people of Kaikoura in the region, and I thought that if emergency legislation was required, that enough political parties would support that to allow it to take place.
Mr. Key's attention was then drawn northward with this question about government buildings in the capital from Opposition Leader Andrew Little.
What steps is he taking to respond to the evacuation of Statistics House, Defence Headquarters, and now Papatea House, due to the damage in the earthquake that they were supposed to be able to withstand? And just how compromised are government services, given the number of public service buildings that seem to have been evacuated?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not aware of a major deterioration in the services that can be provided, but clearly people have moved out of buildings, and when they do that, and we need to do that if they're structurally unsafe. We can't put people back in buildings that are unsafe. There may be some inconvenience and there may be some reduction in service. It's actually not correct to say that even if a building is built to a strong and a high level of code compliance, that it can't and doesn't suffer damage as a result of an earthquake. They sometimes do.
And from earthquakes to climate change, with this question for the Prime Minister from Greens co-leader James Shaw.
Would he be prepared to join Ban Ki-moon and Francois Hollande and call on Mr. Trump to drop his campaign pledge to cancel the Paris Climate Agreement?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, I think a better way to phrase that would be having had a conversation with President-elect this morning, we expressed an interest at an appropriate point after he's sworn in to have a more broad discussion about a range of issues, including trade, and climate change would be one of those. I personally hope that the United States would actually honour the commitments that were made at Paris, because if you look, as I've argued so often to this House, the issue of climate change is a global issue, but we really need those huge emitters to be part of the solution, and that includes the United States, China and of course, India. And the genesis of the work that President Obama did, that he took to Paris, was really a bipartisan agreement reached with Xi Jinping from China. And so the risk, of course, is that if the United States are not actively engaged, other big emitters might not be as well.
Prime Minister John Key, finally, a plug for Steam Radio from Labour's Grant Robertson.
Mr. Speaker, all media in New Zealand have performed a good job over the last few days in keeping New Zealanders informed. But Radio New Zealand, in its role as a public broadcaster has been outstanding in providing service to New Zealand, including Susie Ferguson's amazing run into the studio early on Monday morning. They deserve far better support. Their funding has been frozen for 8 years. Let's make this the occasion that the House decides we need quality public broadcasting and we'll fund it properly.
Labour's Grant Robertson speaking in the general debate. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.